And get started. Hey folks, my name is Brian Jones. I'm the group program manager for a team in Office that's called the Office Developer Platform Team. So our team owns the extensibility platform for Office, SharePoint, Office 365. And so today we're going to be talking about the new app model that was introduced with Office and SharePoint 2013. I was trying to think back when the last time I was at TechEd presenting. I think it was actually about 6 years ago when we announced the new file formats, DocX, XLSX, PPTX. So it's been a long time since I've been here presenting on the overall extensibility models in Office, so I'm pretty pumped. And there's a lot of great stuff that our team did over the past couple years that I'm excited to show you guys about. The first thing I wanted to do is just giving you a little bit of background into why we've made the change that we have in terms of the application model. Office extensibility is super important for us in Office in general. I've been working on extensibility in Office for about 14 years. And this change that we've made in 2013, it's probably the most significant investment we've made in the platform since probably VBA. If you look at the new direction that we're taking. So I want to start first just by talking a little bit about today, how folks are using Office, that just kind of set the scene. Just to note, I only have about 3 slides. The rest of the talk will mainly be demos. So I'll get through the slides pretty quickly. But I think it's important. So first thing is why. Why do people extend Office? It's pretty obviously a great end-user tool. Most end-users are familiar with how to use Office to go and get things done, to create IP. Every document, every spreadsheet, every mail is some level of IP, something that those users are creating that's valuable to the company. And being able to go and take back-end LOB systems, business processes, and push those into Office and extend Office to connect to those, kind of connecting those systems of record with the systems of action is highly valuable. And you know, we recognize that really the Office out of the box doesn't really give anybody a competitive advantage, right? It's just everybody can go and get that. But it's those customizations that you do on top of Office and SharePoint that really make it mold to your own business processes, capture your own competitive IP. And we have a very vibrant ecosystem. The number of developers building things on top of Office is huge, millions of folks, especially when you take into account things like VBA, where really back in 96 when we introduced it, really changed, was pretty groundbreaking, that you could go and get these users who were not developers to go and craft solutions. So you'd have your business analyst or your accountant who could go and do from simple things like Mac recording, go and take a spreadsheet and turn that into an app. I mean, Excel is essentially an IDE, and every spreadsheet you create is like an app. In SharePoint, over 700,000 SharePoint developers. The SharePoint ecosystem is super, super powerful right now. And so the reason I want to just call attention to that is that while I was saying that we've made a huge shift in terms of the platform, we also recognize the importance of all the solutions that people have already built on top of the existing models. And so this is just a new path, but we still are obviously supporting all of the existing solutions, things like VSTO solutions, VBA, COM add-ins, sandbox code, full trust code on your servers. We recognize that there's a lot of stuff that people have already captured there, and so we'll keep supporting those. But we've also introduced this new model, and I think you'll see why we did this. So the trends that we were looking at, one was when we'd go and talk to developers, the number of developers who specialized or knew how to go and build solutions on top of Office was getting smaller. A lot of developers know how to go and write HTML, JavaScript solutions. It's pretty easy if you're going to go and build a solution to go and hire out folks that know that. But if you want to go and find somebody who's specialized in Outlook or in Excel or even SharePoint, although that's a bit bigger, it's a little bit more of a challenge. And so we wanted to go and provide a model that was more familiar to the larger set of developers so that they can show up and also build solutions on top of Office. We're seeing 75% of developers that are using HTML5 in some way. Another thing we're seeing, of course, is the trend towards web services. Tons of companies now are exposing their data through web services. And there's a lot of work that we've been doing, even in things like Excel services and in SharePoint, to start to expose Office data through web services and to allow you to go and push information into Office through web service calls. So the key principles that we took on as we started to think about this new model, as we got the team going, one was to optimize around the cloud. This was both for us as well as for our customers. We were moving SharePoint into Office 365. Obviously, the models of full trust code where you just go and take a managed assembly and drop it on the same box that's running SharePoint, that doesn't work when we go to the cloud. We had the sandbox that we went and introduced a while ago, but the feedback that we were getting around the sandbox was that folks felt like they were a little bit too constricted. If you wanted to go and spin up SQL and create your own DB as part of your solution, you couldn't do that, for instance. So we wanted to come up with a new model that was flexible, designed for the cloud, was consistent. So if you're building a solution inside of Excel and then you decide you want to bring Outlook into it, we wanted that to be consistent so people knew, felt familiar as they moved around. Same with SharePoint. So SharePoint developers could feel like they could go and leverage Office as a part of their solution, the Office clients. If you've got a portion of your solution where a user is going to be editing some data and doing some BI, or if they're going to be communicating, we wanted you to go and use, be able to pull those rich tools like Excel, Outlook, and Word into your solution. So a consistent model across Exchange, SharePoint, and the Office clients. And we also wanted to go and give choice. You'll see there's a lot of stuff that we've done that makes it really easy and powerful to go and build solutions on top of Azure, using Azure as your back end for Office solutions. But we also did make it flexible. Everything's based on web standards. And so we wanted to make it so that if you have, you know, it's not a green field for you and you have existing systems already in place running on other servers, we wanted you to be able to go and still have that logic tie into Office applications. So we wanted to go and give that kind of choice. I saw Flash just go up. I'm sorry, I switched the slide just as someone's taking a picture. But the slides will be available. What this all came down to is this investment in what we've been just calling our new cloud application model, or apps for Office and apps for SharePoint. It's really what we did is we looked at the set of scenarios that people were already using Office for, that they were extending. We also looked at what were the things that people were really moving off to the web for. We saw a lot of folks that were building solutions that we felt could have leveraged Office, but were being built as pure web apps. Even internally, we were seeing this. I worked on the Word team for about 10 years, so I had a lot of passion around Word. That's why I got really pushed for the new file formats, because we wanted to find ways for people to be able to go and consume Office content up on servers and create Office documents, Word, PowerPoint, and Excel. But we were seeing even our own internal IT departments building solutions for like performance management, or where you'd be writing up your reviews or your commitments, and those were being built just as pure web apps. Didn't even tie into Office, and so as a former Word guy, it was killing me. I would go and write all my stuff in Word and then copy and paste it into the web app. And then there was some improvement that they made to the rich edit control that they were hosting in their web app so that the copy-paste was horked, and so then I had to copy from Word and paste into Notepad and then copy from that and paste into... Anyway, those were things that kind of irked me, and so some of the inspirations behind the new model. The new cloud app model, really, we're focusing around this concept of apps. Folks can go and acquire apps, build apps, manage apps. We want to go and build a really robust life cycle around these. And I'll show a lot of examples of that. And that's something that's it's super important. Back to that idea of seeing more things built as web apps. When we talk to different customers, it's just really easy to go and throw a web app together. Right? You just have a server, you throw your HTML up there, and if you need to update it, you just go and update the server. Everybody's always working off the latest version. You don't need to go and deploy a DLL onto everybody's machine, right? It's easy to go and track how things are being used. And so we wanted to go and provide a lifecycle that felt as easy as building and managing a web app when you're building extensions for Office. And so we focused a lot on acquisition, on deployment, tracking, management, updating, things like that. And we also focused on web standards to provide a familiar tool set for folks. So let's go into a couple demos just to show what is it that I'm talking about. What are these apps for Office? So I'll start off first by showing just a really simple example inside of Excel. Here I've got this spreadsheet that's got a table of data in it. It's the cost of living information, so all the states inside the US. What's the cost of living index? So it's a table, it's got 50 rows, and then I went and dropped the chart because I wanted to visualize that information, but the chart's not super useful because 50 bars, that's not super interesting. And so what I want to do is I want to go and find more like something geographic to go and represent this. So I'm just going to go and delete this chart and get that out of there. And let me go and insert an app. So you can see here on the Insert tab, we've got this new button, blue button, Apps for Office. And I've got a set of apps here that show up. These apps are apps that I got from the Office Store. So this is a public marketplace, essentially, for apps. You'll see here that there's also a tab here called My Organization that I'll drill into a little bit more later. I have the ability to go and have apps that I acquire from the store just from ISVs. I can pay for something. They're free or paid. And I can also go and deploy my own internal apps. And I'll drill into the internal apps a bit later, but I want to just grab a couple apps from the store just because it's kind of the simpler example. So here's an app called Geographic Heat Map. Now, one of the key things is that this list of apps that's showing up here, these aren't installed on this machine. What happens is when I go and boot up Office and I say insert app, we go and call off to the Office Store. I'm logged into Office with my Windows account. So we call off to the store and say, hey, this is Brian. What apps does he have access to? And they show up right here. But the apps are all just essentially pointers to websites. So when I go and insert this app, really I'm just inserting a reference to the website that this developer, Kyur, set up. So there's no install on this machine. If I go to another machine and I'm logged in with that same user account, I'll have access to that same set of apps. If Kyur wants to go and update his app, he can update his app freely, because again, it's just that website. So let me go and insert this app from Kyur into my spreadsheet. And what he has some UI that he's built that lets you go and select the data that you want to bind to. So I'm going to go and select that same, those two columns that I had the chart bound to. I can go and decide what scale I want to go and apply. Hit save. And now you see that I've got a chart or a map of the US that's bound to that table of data, right? So behaves just like a chart. Now the key is, I can just go and actually right click on this thing and say view source. This is all just HTML, and JavaScript. So there's a JavaScript API that Excel is exposing that Kyur's app is calling into. That's how he's able to go and get the set of data there. If I go and change values here, let's say I want to go and change Alaska to be off the charts, like 500, and hit return, you'll see that the map just updates because there's a JavaScript event that gets thrown, and Kyur's able to respond to that and show the update there. And this behaves just like any other chart. I can go and decide, hey, I want to filter out Alaska, so unselect Alaska just using Excel's capabilities. The map will go and see that I did that, and it'll go and update again. So really simple, easy, lightweight app. Kyur actually, he was a PM on the Excel team for a little while when he went and built this. It was just a test project that he did in a weekend just using some existing libraries that are online. And now he's gone and published it up in the store. But super easy. There's another one here that I just has absolutely no bearing to this demo at all, but it's kind of the one that I always like to play around with that Rolando, one of the PMs on my team, built called Bubbles, where you can go and he's just using some HTML canvas controls, and so I can go and bind to that table, hit OK, and it'll go and have a bunch of these bubbles here. So not the most useful visualization here, but there actually are data sets that thing is super useful for. I just don't have. I'm not doing that. But I love this. Like I think he even put things in here where I can I can change the gravity on the thing, so I can have so a little more fun than just a regular bar chart. Again, this is just HTML and JavaScript. This is something that Rolando whipped together really quickly. He's been tweaking it a bit. I think that when he started adding, it's actually a two-dimensional thing. So the size of the bubbles are based on one column, and then the color of the bubble is based on another column. So really nice, easy, lightweight. Let me show another example. I'm going to close Excel here, because we actually have this across the app. So we've got it in Word, in Excel, PowerPoint, Outlook. Here we are in Outlook, and this is another app. This is actually an internal app. This is an app that we use in Office. I didn't do the greatest cleansing on the bugs I want to show, but basically what this is an app where when you receive an email, if it has a bug number in it, there's a basic regular expression that the app can register for, essentially, that tells Outlook when it should pop up. So this app is an internal app that we've built that we use in Office, and anytime you receive an email that has a bug number in it, the app will pop up. And it goes and shows, this actually is calling off to Product Studio, our back-end bug database, and it lets me go and look at the data on those bugs. So rather than having to go off to a separate app, I can sit here and view. I can go and see what the repro steps for the bugs are. It has agave in it. That was actually a code name that we had for apps for Office. They were codenamed agaves for a while, and then we spent about a year and a half or so on feature naming and came up with apps. I think the team still likes agave because it kind of had the fun. There's a bunch of guys from Mexico that are on my team too, so they enjoyed that. This is an internal one. Here's another app that actually comes from the marketplace. This is LinkedIn. I guess this isn't the most interesting one because it's just me. I could go and click on this one, this email. This is an app that LinkedIn built that was published through the store. So any email I get, it'll go and show me contact information, LinkedIn profile on folks. I can go and drill into folks. Like if there's someone on the mail that isn't in my network yet, I can go and add them to my network. And again, this was something that for LinkedIn was pretty easy to do. Obviously, they already have a bunch of web UI. And so they were able to just go and package that up as an app. And this is now shipping inside the store as a free app. There's also one that the Bing team built. So this specific email has an address in it. And so there's a map. There's an app. Oh. Let me try one more time. Yeah, there you go. All right, some random thing in the ether. So there's an address in the mail, and so then it goes and brings up and shows me the address. All right, so that was the basics around some apps for Office. Let's switch over to SharePoint to show what we mean by apps inside of SharePoint. So here I am inside of my SharePoint team site. And you know, we've got our new cool UI here where I can go and pick different things I want to go and work on. And one of the things we've done in SharePoint is we've elevated this concept of apps as a kind of a top-level thing. We've taken a lot of the existing constructs that people are used to and are exposing those as apps. So things like lists, like if you have a task list or a doc library for specs, those are all promoted as apps. And so I can click here and go to site contents, and I see the set of apps that are in that site. So there's a few apps here, like there's my doc lib, site assets that are exposed as apps, and then there's this help desk app. I'm actually gonna go drill into that one at the end, because that's kind of the crescendo. But what I wanna do first is just show adding a new app. So I'm gonna click here on add an app, and let's say I could go and see like the different apps that are available for that have been provided internally that my IT department has gone and built. Or I can go off to the store. And so what I want to do is I want to go, there's an app that I'd heard about that's an app that helps me manage meetings, agenda for meetings, documents, tasks, things like that. Something that really makes sense in SharePoint, right? That's the kind of thing you would go and do in SharePoint. So I'm going to go here and type in meetings. Here's an app that's available in the store that AvPoint built. I can go and see the description for that app. I can click on different screenshots. That looks pretty cool. That's a nice way for me to go and manage meetings. I think I want to go and get that. So I'm going to go and say add it. And then I'm given a trust prompt. And so this is where I can go and give trust to this app. We just use OAuth. This app has its app ID. I'm being asked if I want to allow this app to go and access the contents of that site so it can go and publish documents and lists and things like that. So I'm going to decide to trust this app. And now the app is going to get installed into that site. And you can see here right now, we've got the app is installing. It takes a few seconds to go and install. And there it is. Now it's running. And so I can just go and click on this app to launch it. And one of the things, I don't have like a zoom button on this mouse. And for folks that are in the back, there's like a ton of space in the front, by the way. And like I don't know how, it's probably kind of hard to see all the way back. So I apologize. I've tried to zoom in for almost everything. But I apologize if some of this stuff you can't see. But the URL is actually different. I was going just to an Office 365 site, and now this URL is actually AvPoint's URL. So this is kind of the core of the new model, and I'll hit on this a number of times. We've moved to a model where the logic for your app, the data storage for your app, the page hosting for your app can all run off Box. It can run wherever you want it to. And that's, again, because of that OAuth prompt, because of that trust decision I made, I now have a trust relationship where AvPoint's app running on their servers can call into SharePoint, can surface information through SharePoint, and can pull information out of SharePoint. So if I go and say I want to add a new meeting, say my meeting title is Prep for Tech Ed, I can go and say the meeting organizer is me, Brian Jones, and it's calling into SharePoint to see who the users are. So I can go and say Brian Jones. Let's say it's going to be a 2-minute meeting. Location is New Orleans. Oh, that one was already there. Cool. And attendees, I can go and say, you know, Rolando. Again, it's just calling into SharePoint to get who the people are that are available. Brian Jones. Go and create. And what AvePoint's decided to do, and this is totally the developer's decision, they've decided to store their data inside of SharePoint lists. So again, since they're running off box, they're running their own servers, they could have used SQL, MySQL, they could have used anything that they wanted to store the data. They decided to go and store their data for this app inside of SharePoint lists. And one of the reasons for that is that when I do things like, let me go and launch this meeting. If I go and add a new agenda, like a go over presentation, I can go and add actions to people, like do a quick spell check. And go assign them to people that are in that site. I'll assign that to Rolando. Can add another action, make sure demo looks great. I'll assign that to me. And these action items are just being written as tasks into the SharePoint site. So if I go back to my site, you'll see here that I now have action items for meetings. Oh, you know what? I think there's a little bug on the app I noticed when I launched it. Let me check this again really quick. Yeah, there's a little issue. In fact, let me switch over to my other machine because I actually was playing around with this just before, and it was working, and then I had a little flakiness right then. But here's the site. This site is actually also an O365 site, but it's running on our Amsterdam servers. This is actually our UK, one of the UK sites that we've set up for demos. And so this is running off on in our Amsterdam data center. And I was running the same app here earlier this morning when I was going through the prep. And so you'll see that, again, because that app, it goes and sets up a set of lists inside of SharePoint, I then have those action items that I went and created in the app show up inside of SharePoint too. So if I wanted those to integrate with other parts of a solution, they just show up there as native SharePoint content. Okay, so let me switch back to the slides really quick here. And let's talk about these app models in SharePoint. So in SharePoint 2007, the model that we had, because it was the world where all of our customers were just running SharePoint sites on their own boxes, they were managing their own machines, the model that we did was essentially a full trust code model. You would go and take your packaged app, you would go install it on the same server that was running SharePoint, all the logic would run there on that same box, and it would go and generate the contents that you wanted to go and deliver down to the user. Usually it required admin rights to the box. It was really powerful if you were managing the box, but if you didn't have control of the box, it made it a bit more difficult to go and get your solution packaged. The next step that we did in SharePoint 2010 was we introduced the sandbox. And with the sandbox, you could go and run the logic in a sandbox. And so it meant that as an admin, you could give people rights to go and deploy apps without worrying about them being able to take over the entire site. So it made it a bit easier to go and deploy things. The challenge around the sandbox was that people didn't have all the flexibility that they wanted. You couldn't go and spin up your own SQL DB, for instance. We had a lot of feedback from folks that were asking for more and more features to be added into the sandbox, because really at the end of the day, what they wanted is they just wanted to be able to use all of the great things that the dev team is building, right? All the great stuff that's coming that came with .NET, with SQL, and we were kind of in a rush to try and keep up with that. The other big thing that we did is we introduced the CSOM, the client-side object model. and said, you know, in this world, like, all the logic doesn't need to go and run on the server. So with web services and the CSOM, you could go and have more of your app logic running on the client, which was a big step forward. You could go and build like phone apps that would go and connect to SharePoint and create custom views just by calling through the web service calls. So the shift that we did for 2013 is we said, you know, that sandbox, rather than us going and trying to manage an area where that code runs and constantly trying to add the features to keep it up to date with modern tools, let's pop that out. Let's make it so that rather than running in a sandbox on our machines, you can run anywhere you want. And then with OAuth and REST, your logic can then call back into SharePoint. So you still get that same feeling around the integration, but you're no longer running on the SharePoint server. And so with the new app model, you can be running on Azure, you can be running on the LAMP stack, and all of your logic can be running there. You call into SharePoint, and then through the CSOM, you can go and have your client-side code call in both to SharePoint, or you can call directly to your servers. So I want to show a quick example of this, just using some of the dev tools. There's a lot of great stuff that we've worked with the dev team on to make the tooling support better. So demo, a look under the hood. So here I am in Visual Studio. Let me go and show my site again here really quick so you can see what I want to do. I've got my news feed. So this is my site on SharePoint that shows all this information about me, Brian Jones, and allows me to go and post status to folks on my team so they can go and see what I'm up to. So I have a couple posts there just about the trip to Tech Ed. And what I want is I want to add an app that allows me to go and post cool like articles that I read. You know, like I get the cool like Instapaper link that if you guys use that or things like that. I want to go and have a similar kind of app, but it lets me go and post to my newsfeed on O365 because I only want to share it with the people I work with. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go and bring up Visual Studio here. This again is that just note. I don't know if you guys can see, but this is that Apps Demo UK site. So this is actually a O365 site that's running off in Europe. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to go and bring up Visual Studio. And I've got a basic app. And what this app does is it lets you go and write a little comment. And it'll also go and run the web browser control to take a bitmap screenshot of IE. So it'll let me go, and whenever I'm reading an article, it'll go and run the web browser control on the URL that I'm linking to, take a screenshot of that, and post that up to my feed. That's something that you couldn't have done in the sandbox, right? But because of this new model, this thing can run just off in Azure, can go and host that web browser control, look at the URL. I still get that OAuth prompt that allows it to go and connect back to SharePoint, so it's able to go and run all that, and then post it to my feed. What I'm going to do here is, because I'm just building this locally, I'm going to go and just run it on IIS on this box, all of that logic. The key thing to note, though, is that SharePoint's not on this box. It used to be that if you wanted to go and do SharePoint development, you had to go and install SharePoint on the machine and Visual Studio on the machine. It took a while to go and get everything set up so that you can start building. In this case, I am just working against that O365 site that's running off in Amsterdam, and I'm going to go and build directly against that. I'm going to debug against that site. In fact, the text is probably far too small, but you can see here that we're pointing off of that Apps Demo UK site. So let's just go and start this guy up first. So it's going and packaging things up. It's going to spin up IIS to have that run locally. And then I should, at some point here, I'll probably get that trust prompt. So I'm asked if I want to go and trust that Connect site. So this is being registered just as an app. That logic is going to run locally. We're going to go and get that trust relationship. So I'll say trust it. And now SharePoint is going to go and allow that app to go and read information from it and post information to it. So I've got my This is my little app here running. I can go and click on the O365 Connect link. I can say, hello world, with an exclamation point, hit post. And now if I go back to my site and hit refresh, there is the hello world that shows up. So if folks have, anybody who's a SharePoint developer, like the fact that, like what just happened there is pretty outstanding. Again, the SharePoint server is running off in Amsterdam somewhere. I didn't have to install anything on this box for that. I was just running IIS, so I'm able to do anything I want to do. I'm not constrained by the sandbox. And I was able to just F5 publish that thing. In fact, I can go and put a breakpoint in here so I can debug against that site. Gee, how many Christmas. Let's go and put a breakpoint in here. And what I want to do actually is let's go and, just for the full real solution, let's go and put this little link up here into my my bookmarks. Let's go to like Engadget. See if maybe there's some cool apps for Office article. Wow, the part of the demo where it fails is just going to an Engadget article. Hello? Let me just go to a basic thing. Let's go to Seattle Times. I'm at the Seattle Times. I think this is really cool. And let's go and click on that link. Add a comment, check out the Seattle Times. Hit post. And there I am, right in the debugger. I can sit here and look through the different arguments that are coming back, like the title, the link, the URL for the link. I can sit here and step through the debugger as I'm building against that remote SharePoint site. I'll just hit continue here, and now if I go back to my newsfeed again and hit refresh, there's my latest post with the Seattle Times, and then looks like there is some little issue, but the little screenshot of the Seattle Times site. So super powerful, right, with that new model. Much easier to go and build a solution. And again, all of the great things that the developer division org is building, all the great tooling, you get to take advantage of all of that. If you already have all of your logic running off somewhere else, if you've got it running on the LAMP stack, you can go and use that. Really powerful new model. Let me show one other thing that the DevDiv guys are working on, because the tooling is just really exciting, some of the things that they've been building. So what I'm going to do now is let me go, I was showing you that that meetings app where it had the set of action items that were assigned. What I'm going to do is I'm going to go and go into Visual Studio, and I'm going to go and build a mobile app that goes and connects to that site and goes and shows those tasks. So there's an SDK for Windows Phone that the dev guys have been working on with us. And so let me go and create a new project. I'm going to create a Windows Phone SharePoint list application. Hit OK. Let's type in that URL. So appsdemouk.sharepoint.com. Let's find the lists. So it's going to go and call off to our site. It's going to say, here are all the lists that you can go and connect to. I'm going to go and grab the actions from the meeting. So that's that set of tasks that other app, I acquired that meetings app. It went and wrote all the action items into a SharePoint list. So I'm writing this new mobile app that's going to go and connect to that. I can go and pick what I want to view. I'm going to view all of the tasks. I can decide to give it just full CRUD operations. And let's go and show the task name and who it's assigned to. So let's finish that. It's going to go and create that solution. And let's just go and try this out. See if it works. Might be a little bit slow because, again, it's going against that UK site. So let me go and log in here. Brian Jones at apps demo UK. I love that. You can all see the password. Keep me signed in. All right, so this is going against our UK server. It's calling into that set, that list. And there's those lists of those two action items showing up right there inside of the phone. Like I said, I gave it CRUD rights too. So I could even go and click on one of these tasks, like get a good demo machine that I assigned to Rolando. Right here from my phone app, I can go and edit that. Let's say, get a good demo machine right away, exclamation point. Hit save. It's going to go in right back to my site. Now let's go back to the SharePoint site here where those action items are. Come back, hit refresh. Wow, went and wrote right to the site. Pretty awesome. Thank you. I know this. Wow. Maybe I should pause for applause more frequently. I was starting to get very, very down. You guys are supposed to pick me up. Okay. So some of the stuff that DevDiv has been doing around tooling, really, really awesome. Let's go and switch now. Let me see. What's the next one? Ooh, yeah. This is a cool one. I don't get to go to my meetings today. Okay. So let's go and boot up Excel again. Actually, I want to show a little bit around, you know, I talked about the work that we're doing around management or just the overall life cycle of apps. I want to show you a little bit of that. So let's go. I'm up on that on my SharePoint site. Let's go into the SharePoint admin UI here. So you see how we have this tab, apps. And this is where I can go and manage the app catalog. So these are all the apps that I want everybody in my organization to have access to. I can go and purchase apps. If there are apps from the store that I, as an admin, want to go and purchase, I want to get, you know, 1,000 seats that I want to go and purchase and assign out to people, I can do that. I can manage the licenses. I can go and monitor apps, check on the health of the apps, or control permissions. Maybe I don't want it. Maybe there are certain apps that I only want, you know, a specific business unit to have access to. Let's go click on App Catalog. First of all, here's that help desk app that I said that we were going to go and drill into. So that's the app for SharePoint that folks have access to. And here are the apps for Office. These are two apps, inventory distribution analysis app and inventory app. So let's see how this occurs for the user. This is just essentially a list. I have rights to it since I'm the admin. Everybody else has read access to it. And I have it where all of my users, all of their versions of Office are pointing back to this. This is essentially that source of truth for apps that they get access to. So I'm going to go and boot up Excel. And I'd shown how I had the set of my apps that showed up on the first tab. Those are all the ones that were coming from the store. And then I also have my organization apps. So there's those two apps that were showing up in that catalog. And these are two internal apps that I've got that I'm giving to people. So I can go and insert that inventory app. This app shows up as a task pane. And what it does is it allows the user to go and discover data, the right set of data that they want. So I want to go and get data about the gas turbine, connecting to Dynamics, and go and push this into my spreadsheet. You know, this is one of the, when you go and look at business process in general, one of the biggest flaws or holes in most business processes is just people getting access to the wrong set of data. And we think that the apps for Office is a great way of going and pushing data to users, rather than people having to go and navigate through, write the SQL queries, all of that stuff to find data. You can go and provide an app that goes and gets the right set of data. So I've gone and pushed this data into the spreadsheet. I can go and insert that other app that I had that lets me go and analyze that data. So I can go and say, you know, where are we storing all of our gas turbines? Are there certain states that have too much and we need to go and redistribute those? You know, it's a couple little apps that were built for my internal company that I've gone and inserted so that now the users can go and insert those two apps into Excel, and it starts to feel kind of like a mashup right? Where you can have a set of apps that empower the users, and the users can be the one that go and stitch those apps together to craft the actual solution. One of the things I want to do is, rather than doing this inventory management, maybe the thing I want to do is, in order to decide whether or not it's okay to have a lot of excess inventory, I just want to know, like, how big are those states? You know, like, what's the population of the state? And so there's an app that one of the PMs on my team, this is just a forewarning, the UI around this app is terrible. It's just a little fun app that a PM on my team built. He was just kind of geeking out on Wolfram Alpha. And so I've got an app that he built that will allow you to go and connect to Wolfram Alpha and bind that into the spreadsheet. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to go back to that internal catalog. So here's the set of apps that users currently have access to. And let's say I want to go and add a new app for everybody. I don't want to have to go and deploy that on everybody's machine, though, of course, right? I want a nice, easy way to be able to go and insert an app and allow everybody to have access to it. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go, and I've got this app manifest. So let me go and open this up. So what you can see here, it's just a simple little XML file. The key things, though, of interest, one is the name of the app, its type, the fact that it's a task pane app, and then you'll see here that it's pointing off to these URLs. So this is an Azure site that Rolando set up to run his app. He just wrote a simple manifest that points off to the URL for that Azure site. So he's able to go and build an app for Office just by hosting some server logic up in Azure, and it serves up some basic web pages. And then the manifest is just a set of XML that points at that URL. So what I'm going to do is I want to go and add this app for everybody. So I'm just going to go and take that manifest, that XML file, and I'm just going to go and drag and drop it right there into that list of apps. So now I have a third app, Magic Fill, that shows up. And if I come back to Excel, I say insert app for Office and hit refresh, there's that new app. So I just deployed that to everybody, just like that. If I decide that the app's not behaving properly, I can go and take it down. I can kill bit the thing, and it'll instantly stop working for everybody. I have control over that distribution, which I never really had before with solutions on top of Office like that. And this app is kind of fun, so let me go and insert this app. Magic Fill, insert. All right, so I'll go and select the table. It's bound to this table, and it allows me to just go and write a Wolfram Alpha query. So I want to go and say, you know, we were wanting to know, like, the size of the state, so I can just go and say, rather than GDP, let's say I want to add a new column called population. The query against Wolfram Alpha I want to have is population of, and let's say the argument for that is going to be that state. So let's just go and say add the column, and then you'll see here that it's going to go call off to Wolfram Alpha. It's going to go and look at that, those states, and slowly start to fill in those values just using that async JavaScript API. Kind of cool and, like, a little magical there. Of course, the data that comes back, I'd have to probably do a little data cleansing to actually do anything with it because it's got the text in it. But if you guys have seen the flash fill stuff from Excel, it's actually much easier now to go and clean up data. So it's a really fun little app that that Rolando threw together, and the ease with which you can go and distribute solutions and manage them and manage that overall life cycle of apps is really super powerful. So let me go and close that. And let's go back to this our site. And I want to drill into the help desk app. So the purpose of this demo is to show how, with the model, leveraging web standards across the model, across both the extensibility for the client and for SharePoint, it becomes possible now to go and build solutions that leverage all of Office, all of the suite, right? The rich clients, the web companions. Since these apps are just HTML and JavaScript, these things run in the web companions too. So that same spreadsheet I could have opened up in the Excel web companion and interacted with that app. And so what I want to show now is an app that ties all of those together. So I've got a help desk app here. And the first thing is apps can kind of occur or show up to users in a number of different ways. In this case, in SharePoint, I have the app hosted inside of an app part. And so I've got my help desk app that's showing up right here. But just like that meetings app, the actual logic for the app, the logic that's doing the web hosting, determining what to show, is being run off on a different box. It's being run off in Azure. And so it's providing a set of HTML that's then being delivered here as an app part. So it shows up right inside of SharePoint, just as part of the content. Again, when I go and launch this app, I know it's really small, but you'll see that the URL is going to change. So let me go and launch this app. And here's the help desk app. So it's now running off in Azure. I had already added the app, so I gave it all of that trust. So it's able to go and tie into SharePoint. This app, because it's running on Azure, it's the developer's box, they can go and create any UI they want, use any data storage that they want. They can reuse, like they have some office controls here, so I can quickly get back to SharePoint. So from the end user point of view, it feels like it's just part of the site. They launch the app from the site, they can get back to the site. It's just part of the site, even though it's running off on a different box. So let me go and launch the help desk app. And you can see here, it knows who I am. It grabs the same picture from the site. And this is an app that lets me go and manage a set of, like managing a help desk, a set of tickets that come in. I can go and assign the tickets off. I've got a set of alerts that are showing up here. I can go and say I want to add a new ticket. So I've got a set of tickets that are showing up. I can say add a new one. Demo for tech. That is cool. That's obviously not an app. Let's say that's for facilities. Test. And that will go and add that. And then what I can do is I can go and assign that to folks. So let's say I want to go and assign this. It's requested from me. I can pick who I assign it to. Let's go back to the site. If I go click on Outlook here in OWA, you'll see that as the person who submitted it, I go and get an email notification. So I'm told, hey, my ticket's been created with the following details. So I get notified, and I'll get notifications as I go through. And you may have noticed that an app shows up here too, ticket status. So it sees that, OWA sees that this mail came from that solution. I already have an app registered in Outlook for that. And so right here from within OWA, I can go and track the status of that ticket. So that app that was powering the information inside of SharePoint is also delivering experience down to Outlook. As part of that same app, all of the HTML and JavaScript that's running for that is coming from that same Azure site. And so I can go in right here from within Outlook, I can go and look at the status, I can go and move that content around if I want to. Let's go back to the site. I can also go here and click on statistics. And you'll see here that I've got this link, Analyze the in Excel app. So I can go and click on this. It's going to go and boot up Excel. And again, I have the rich client running here, but it loads up an app. So the spreadsheet that app sends down to Excel includes a task pane, a reference to the task pane that's being served up by that same app. And so throughout the Office suite, whether I'm in Outlook or OWA, Excel or the Excel web services or that SharePoint app, I'm able to have that experience from that app. That app is able to maintain that context. And I can go right here from Excel, decide I want to insert, I want to go and review the set of tickets that have been logged. So I can go and click through, decide I want to go and do tickets by day, insert that data right into Excel. I can start to do some analysis on that. The whole reason I would bring that thing into Excel in the first place is that I maybe want to do a mashup with the data. I want to go and create some charts, do some decision making on that, heat map on the data and things like that. So that the thing that's really key, though, is that we have seen in the past a lot of solutions that where folks will go and push Excel data out as part of their solution. But because of that app model, you're able to also go and have a tailored experience directly within Excel that maintains that relationship back to the app where the user launched it from. So if you want to go and have the ability to push data back, if you want to keep the data up to date, you can go and have that app that's serving all of that up and maintaining that connection. Okay. So the very last thing I want to show. Let me switch back really quick. That folks should go and play around with is just the site. dev.office.com. So it's a simple URL to remember, dev.office.com. And this is a great place to go and get started building solutions. One of the key things that we do, we had a lot of feedback from developers about kind of the on-ramp, the amount of time it took to get started building solutions on top of SharePoint. And so we had a big effort last time around that we just kind of referred to as our 0 to 60, how long it took from first finding out about the platform to going and building solutions. And so we made a huge effort this past go-around in terms of trying to speed that up. So rather than requiring you to go and install SharePoint onto the box, you saw that we did a lot of work around being able to do remote development. And if you go to dev.office.com, one of the things you can do is you can go and sign up for a what we refer to as a dev tenant. So you can go and get your own O365 site that is spun up specifically for developing solutions. So you can go and right here you can go and get started. If you've got an MSDN subscription, I can't remember the levels, but it's either $99 a year or if you have a certain level of MSDN subscription, you get it for free. If you already have an O365 instance, you can just go and install the tools right there. But we even have things like if folks haven't heard of Napa, it's a web-based IDE that the DevDiv group has built. So right from that dev site, without even installing Visual Studio on your machine, you can go and start building solutions. You've got Exchange, SharePoint, the clients all available there from that dev site. So you can quickly go and start getting up and running and building solutions and trying it out. So really, it went from a thing where I think on average it would be sometimes it could take more than a day to really get up and get started, getting your box all set up with the right version of SharePoint, getting Visual Studio on there. And now you can literally be up and running building an app in 15, 30 minutes. It's really the biggest choke point now is just getting the dev tenant set up for yourself, just getting that subscription set up. So that's all I have. Let me switch back because I think there's a couple of slides here that I wanted to walk through. One big thing for call to action, I already talked about dev.office.com. Great place to go and get started learning about the new model. Also, reimagine spdev.com. This is a site that we just launched a week or two ago. And the primary focus here is to help folks as they think about their existing investment of solutions in SharePoint. And how do you think about migrating those into the new model? Which solutions do you want to migrate? Which solutions make more sense to keep using the old model? There will be those solutions that make more sense to keep as a full trust code solution, for instance. And we're trying to put more and more content out there to help people make those decisions in that migration. Some other resources, Channel 9, of course. And there were a series of Channel 9 videos that we put up like 2 weeks ago when we launched reimaginesharepointdev.com that have more content around how you make those decisions about the new model. Some of the new things around auth, all of the areas where we kind of saw that folks could get a bit confused. And then there's the obligatory compete and win, and then evaluate the session. So that's all I had. There's time for questions, but if folks want, you can just feel free to come down and ask too. Otherwise, thanks a lot. I really appreciate it.